We lost a couple of minutes here, but we'll try to make that up. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for the opportunity to be here to study God's word. And we thank you for the race that you've put us in as believers, and help us to finish strong, and help these times together as we study the word of God to help us, strengthen us, so that we do finish our race strong. We pray, Father, for those who are away today and traveling, and pray as we move toward the summer months, you just bless and refresh and encourage. And Father, just help us to utilize this time well this morning as you teach us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you should have the handout. We're in lesson number 9. But just to mention, last week we dealt with the concept that the overall heading was to be committed. To be committed to doing what is right. Be committed to the things of God that we've learned. Don't grow weary. The emphasis of the lesson was don't grow weary, don't give up, and don't quit. It is trying in the Christian walk, but don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing, we saw, and don't quit. Things will get hard. Tests will come. No one escapes that. You will have, as a believer, ups and downs. You will have victories. You will have failures. That's part of maturity. That is part of growing in the Christian life, growing in the Christian walk. So expect that. In fact, I won't turn to it, but you'll remember that according to James chapter 1, God even uses trials in our life to mature us, to perfect us, to better equip us, to help us to learn from the things that we go through. And so we will, as believers, experience that, and that is a good thing. So don't think you lost in the race or you're destroyed because you had some ups and downs and you had some failures. No, continue strong. Don't grow weary in well-doing. And if need be, and I say need be, come all the way down to, like David did when everybody wanted to kill him, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He looked to the Lord, and he just depended, and I don't understand, just like Job did, don't understand what's going on. But Lord, even though people would say, curse God and die, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to trust you. I don't know what. So there's a lot of those verses we've been looking at. Trusting in the Lord, not leaning on your own understanding. I'll keep going, Lord. Help me to have the strength to keep going. And that will help us to finish strong as well. That moves us to our lesson today. Because again, the practical side, the working of it out, is we have to be involved in development and cultivation. Those are just the terms that I chose to use. Development in our life every day and cultivation of certain things. Now, I put good works in the beginning here for a reason. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. So that you can see the practicality of what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 5, and for time's sake, we'll just go 6 through 11. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers, right, and do not be partakers with them, for you were, here's where you were, formerly darkness. But now you are light. Where? In the Lord. So then what? Walk. That's a daily experience. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists, and here's just a general statement to get us going. Light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to God. So day by day we're learning, walking in goodness, righteousness, truth. Do not partake of the unfruitful deeds of darkness. That's pretty general but straightforward. But instead, even expose them. So you don't participate in things that you did before that were not honoring to the Lord. And when you see them, you expose them. And you concentrate on righteousness, what is truth, and what is right. Everybody today says, whatever truth is, it's up to you. That's not true. We have the Word of God. That is our measuring rod. That is our standard. And in saying that, so for clarification on good works, they have a place, especially in the believer's life. In the believer's life, they have a place. And don't get shocked by the concept of good. In Matthew chapter 7, if you want to mark it down, I think it's verse 11. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord, when he was talking about prayer, says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, you understand, you know, being good for salvation, no, that's the first bullet point. But we can do good things in life, helping a lady across the street, or helping someone carry their groceries, or giving good gifts to your children, those are good things, okay? They have a place. Not for salvation, we know that. Yet believers are called. As believers, we know to holiness and to good works. 1 Peter 1:15, I will just mention, you're very familiar with it. Be holy, for I am holy. There's the standard. God's looking for us to walk in holiness, or as we've memorized as a church, Ephesians chapter 5, which I didn't go back all the way to verse 1, but we had to be imitators of God. Okay? So that's how we are to try to walk as believers. And good works have a place. Ephesians chapter 2, since we're in chapter 4 and 5, go to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I know you know it well, but verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Remember, he's brought us to salvation. He's called us. He's working in us to accomplish the things that he wants in our life so that we will desire his will, fulfill his will, and he's also going to keep working until we are conformed to the image of Christ. So we're his workmanship. We understand that. But then he goes on, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God beforehand prepared beforehand so that they would walk in them. That should be our pattern. It should be, it's good. Good works don't just panic. Good works don't save anyone. But they are a reflection of the fact that I am a child of God, and I will do things right, and I will make right decisions. And I might, we use my speech, as we will see today, very practical aspects. I will use it in a right way. Edification. That shines light on Christ. And that's exactly what Matthew, if you want to mark it down, chapter 5 and verse 16 says. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See? So it has a place, especially in a believer's life. So don't get all boggled down by good works don't matter. They don't for salvation. But they certainly do in our walk, in how we reflect our Savior, how we reflect the one we belong to. And Titus chapter 2 is another good reference, I believe, there. Let's take a look at that one. Titus chapter 2, in your notes, and verse 7 and 8. Titus 2, verses 7 and 8. In all things, show yourself to be an example of what? Good deeds, good works. How? It's pretty practical. With purity and doctrine, that's very important. In other words, we know what our teaching is. We know what the Word of God. Dignified, there's a lot of people that aren't anymore. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame. And here's a very practical thing with the world, having nothing bad to say about us. It's just like with the Lord. They didn't have anything bad to say. Crucify him, yes, but they couldn't convict him of anything. Right? Don't let people be able to convict you and say, yeah, they say they're a Christian. Look at their lifestyle. Look at what they do. Look at their private life. Look how they act at work. It should be just the opposite. Just like, remember Daniel, and we're going to see him in a little bit. But Daniel in the Old Testament, again, they couldn't find anything against him. And they said, we'll have to attack him on the basis of his God. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Question? They're right, right. That's great. If you didn't hear what Fred said, We will fail. We will. And we looked a lot of, at that last week and the week before, right? The things I want to do, I don't do. We're going to fail. But then what do we say? The righteous man picks himself up. Okay, he doesn't just stay down, and it uses scripture, it says seven times. He falls seven times, he gets up. He gets back again. Well, what do we do? Very important point that was brought up. We saw 1 John 1:9, you confess your sin. Admit you're wrong. Confess your sin before God. And if you confess your sin, God will bless. And the one in the Old Testament that God says he will not bless is the one who tries to hide it and won't admit it. So the world will try to hide it and shift the blame, right? And you're better off. I know I've illustrated it before, but again, I mean it to help you as well in your own walk, because I've failed. And my wife's sitting right here, she knows. I've sat my children down on the couch and said, wait a minute, I want you to know what I did was wrong. You got to be open, even before your kids. I was wrong. You guys are right. I apologize. And I've done that with my wife, you know, and others. You have to be able to admit I was wrong. I had someone that came to see me one time. We were in the office, and they were bringing some things up to me, which was all new to me. And I remember it very distinctly now as I'm thinking about it. And I looked at the individual right in the eye, and I said, thank you for bringing that to me. I'm sorry I didn't know it. Would you forgive me? What am I going to say? The person was right. I didn't know it, but when I thought through what the person was saying, they were right. You have to be able to do that, Fred. As Fred said, you're going to fail. And again, we don't grow weary in well-doing. We get up, okay, and we keep going forward. Thank you for that. So in Titus chapter 2, we saw the same thing, sound in speech, and again, put to shame. This is not only, here's the fill in the blanks. This is not only a daily challenge, because it is, every single day. Because you had victory yesterday doesn't mean you're going to have it today. Because you had victory right now in the class doesn't mean you're going to have it in 2 hours from now. It's a daily challenge, but it is also a lifelong pursuit. As long as we are here as believers, this will be our whole life. Because remember, the world's tugging away at us, our flesh is tugging away at us, and the Spirit of God wants to lead us. It's going to be, as someone was asking before about the race being finished, until the race is done. Until the race is done, it is going to be a lifelong battle. Be prepared for it. Don't just think, well, you know, I'm young, I got 25 years to live. You don't know that. I'm going on vacation, which means I'm going on vacation from God. Never. Never. And I mean, I try to be practical about that. Now, I could, but even when I go on vacation, I send out the verse in the morning. Why? Not on vacation from God. We're not on vacation from Him. See? So it's a practical thing. It's a lifelong habit. To run the race, and this is where I really want to go on this development and cultivation. To run the race and to finish strong, we need to develop good habits. It's practical. We need to develop good habits in our life as a Christian. If you don't have good habits and you just go from moment to moment without any habits, you know, habits are a good thing. And I'm not talking about a habit that a nun wears. I'm talking about habits that are routines that we do. Routines are good. Good habits, one way we learn this is through what? Repetition. That's the point. Fill in the blank. It's repetition. A good habit you do over and over and over again, right? Because it is good. It is a good thing. When we train ourselves regularly and repeat activities, we develop good habits. And again, I'm looking from a positive point of view. It's obvious the opposite is true. If you're developing bad habits, okay, you can be in trouble. All right, new believer. Try to be practical to you. Going, this goes way back. But I had a new believer that came to me, and they were really struggling with smoking. That was their personal struggle. And they wanted to get baptized. And so forth. And everybody knew they were struggling with it. And she came to me and she said, Pastor Danny, got any suggestions? I said, yeah, I do. I said, what are some of the practical struggles that you have? Well, even when I don't have the cigarettes, I know where I hit them here, I know where I put them. I said, look, I'm going to make it very simple to you. Try this. I said, every time you get ready to light up a cigarette, pray and thank God for about you, what you're about to do. And the person tried it. It was gone. True story. It was gone. They get victory over the habit because they said, man, I thank God for that. I'm about to smoke this and kill my lungs. Oh, I can't do this. It had nothing to do with spiritual. Just physically, thank you, God, I'm destroying my body right now. And it helped them to get, you know, they had to begin to develop something good, whether that was prayer or considering what before the Lord what they were doing. If someone, and I've had people, they're struggling with alcohol. Well, what do you do on your way home? I drive by the liquor store. Make it a longer route. Go a different way. Don't allow that temptation to be there. I'm having trouble with the internet. Shut it down. Stop paying for it. If that's your honest trouble, develop a habit. With all of our kids in what we call the TV room, purposely, and I'm just trying to make it practical for you, purposely we had our TV upstairs, not in any place where people came in the house and that's what they saw was a TV. We just wanted it in a room by itself where we had to be there with the kids. And I had a little sign, my wife knows, right next to the computer of the rules that we had regarding the internet. If they broke the rules, they couldn't get on. And that's what it was. And I'm saying practical habits that you want to develop on a regular basis will help you. And we do it all the time, right? Once something becomes a habit, then what happens? Then we perform the action automatically, right? After that habit's developed, it becomes automatic. And that's what we want, good habits. And I tried to be very practical with you. Brushing your teeth, hopefully you did that this morning. Hopefully you combed your hair. Most of you look like you did, those of you who have hair, okay? And I didn't mean to attack anybody there. Taking a shower, all right, whatever it is, exercising, we develop those habits. And that's what you want to do. Now, that's in a physical realm. How about developing good habits? Let's go with a couple of verses here before we get into those things. Let's go to Ezra 10. Ezra 10. If you can find Nehemiah, or you can find Proverbs, just keep going back a little bit. Or Chronicles, that's a big one that you can usually find. You'll find Ezra. And never be embarrassed. If you have to look at an index, do it. I was there. Ezra 7. I want you to see this. Old Testament, Ezra 7, verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart... Watch that. To do what? To study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. And all I'm trying to point out with Ezra, I think it's a pretty good outline there that we see he made it his purpose. He set his heart. This is what I'm going to do. I can't teach it if I don't study it. I can't really teach it if I don't practice what I'm preaching. And then I can teach it. But he developed some habits that would help him even as a priest of God. How about Job chapter 1? Who will find that first? Job chapter 1, verse 5. We had a volunteer? No? Okay, I'll take it. I won't volunteer anybody. What's that? Yeah, read it. Job chapter 1 and verse 5. How long? Continually. He made it a habit to what? Pray for his children. He made it a habit to sacrifice because he didn't know. He just said, God, maybe in their heart they've sinned against you. And I want to kind of intercede for them, for my children. It's great to pray for your children on a regular basis. They're going to face trials. You know, I just very encouraged. I received a letter for my birthday from... a child, let me put one of my children. And I got cards, but this one didn't send a card, they sent a letter. And I appreciated what was said in the letter because it just reminded me, you know what? and he talked about some of the trials that he'd gone through and whatever. But it was great to see that there was an impact. And you know what? It's praying and developing. Let the Lord take care of them. I don't know where they are right now, today. I mean, I know what state they're in, but I don't know what's going on in their lives. And I know Linda and I, and I'm sure it's true for you, pray for our children regularly. Well, that's good for others, but do it for yourself. Make it a habit. And Job made it a habit. He didn't know that they fell. He didn't know that they wouldn't. But he made it a habit every day continuously to do this type of thing. Okay? And it was just after the sacrifice. Let me give you another one. Go to Daniel chapter 6. We've seen Daniel before, but Daniel chapter 6. And this is all under the concept of coming up with habits, good habits, regularly practiced. And you want to do that. What did I say? Daniel chapter 6? Let's look at verse 10. Remember this? The decree goes out. They want to get Daniel, and the only way they can do it is to get him against his God. So, what happens? In verse 10, now when Daniel knew the document was signed, he changed his life, and he got frightened, and he hid himself in the closet, and he didn't do anything that he used to do. Is that what your Bible says? Mine says he entered into his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open, never shut them, toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before God as he had been doing previously. Big trial in his life. What did he do? He had developed habits that I pray, and this isn't going to change anything. If they want to get me for being before the Lord, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so be it. And he prayed on a regular basis. I could go on and on. When you look, let me give you some others. Luke chapter 2, for example. What happened? In Luke chapter 2, you have a situation where the widow, as you know, Anna, had been praying and fasting regularly, daily, serving the Lord. This was after she lost her husband. But it was a habit with her. Okay? I do want you to see this one. Go to 2 Samuel 22. I have a bunch of others, but we got to move on. But 2 Samuel 22, I want you to see this. I think it's practical. 2 Samuel 22, verse 35. What did David say? He trains my hands for battle. This is in a song of praise by David. That my arms can bend a bow of bronze. David had to exercise and do all of that stuff. But God, he realized that God was the one training his hands. And since we're there, I'm going to go to Chronicles as well. 1 Chronicles 12. One more. 1 Chronicles 12. Verses 1 and 2. I think this is very practical. Now these are the sons of the ones who came to David from Ziklag. While he was still trenched because Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men who helped him in war. Now watch verse 2. They were equipped with bows, using both their right hand and their left to sling stones and shoot arrows from the bow. They were Saul's kinmen from Benjamin. And if you look at scripture, you'll see other verses like this with stone cutters and everything else. They were well trained. They spent the time so that in some cases, it says in scripture, they could fling a stone or shoot an arrow and cut a hair's breadth. How did they do that? They absolutely committed themselves to be involved in good habits so they knew how to use the tools that they had. And David was accompanied with people that could use the bow in the left hand, the right hand, put a sling in the right hand, the left hand, and they knew what they were doing because they developed good habits. Practical. This is hard work, is the point. As we learned in the last lesson, we have to be committed to walk with God. Now, I'm just going to give you these quick so we can move on. With David in 1 Samuel, you will look, and you can look at those on your own. I give you the verses. But you'll see over and over, what did he do? The simple practical thing that the scripture says, he behaved himself wisely. Whatever situation he was in, he had trained himself on a habitual basis so that he automatically behaved himself wisely. And isn't that true with Joseph in the Old Testament when he went to prison? He didn't deserve to be there, but he behaved himself wisely and he was given command over the prisoners. He always behaved himself wisely. The Lord used his father to send him to the field. He behaved himself wisely. And over again we see that. The opposite is true when it comes to cutting corners. Your walk is dangerous. And that's King Saul. And that's 1 Samuel 15. You can look at it on your own. But what happened with Saul? He was told what to do, and he didn't do everything that God asked. He cut corners. And what happened? He didn't kill the livestock, and he didn't kill the king. And then he blamed the people. You know what happened? The kingdom was taken away from him. He did not finish well. Simply because he had not developed habits of, this is what the priest told me to do, this is what the prophet told me to do, I'm to obey even if I have to wait. But he didn't. Turn the page and you notice the page 2. And what have you got? Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody knows the story behind that one. They lied. They teamed up as a husband and wife. They could have done anything they wanted. But they lied about the situation and they lost their lives. They lost their lives. They could have given everything or nothing. But they left the impression that they gave everything, which they hadn't. And it cost them. See, they didn't develop good habits. One of their habits was they lied. They were liars. And they followed through on that. To try to illustrate the importance of, again, good habits, I'm going to do something, and I hope that I don't step on any toes or whatever. But here at Fellowship, when we're back in North Andover, in case you didn't know, because we just involved in purchasing a van, as you know here, we had buses. We had the big old yellow buses in North Andover. And several of us had our bus license. We used to go pick up kids in Lawrence and so forth and take them to the church and whatever. But we had bus licenses and so forth. And when we were trained, and some of the people are in the room beside myself, when we were trained to get our bus license, what was required, and it still is today, by the way, in the public setting, we were trained to do a circle check. Now, what's a circle check? We had to, before we got in that bus to take anybody, we had to get in that bus and we had to check the tires, we had to check the gas, we had to check the blinkers, we had to check every single thing on that bus to make sure it was safe before we went anywhere. And I say that because, by the way, we used to do that here. Well, we made sure that if you took the bus on a field trip, if you took the bus anywhere, you could not do it unless you made a circle check. And then you had to fill out a report. I do remember the time that I came to go on a field trip. Where's the information for the circle check? It was gone. The habit had been lost. When you do a good habit like that, you will never have a problem. And you will catch the problem before. And so I'm using that only to illustrate the simple thing of good habits developed safety for the kids. Good habits develop safety for the vehicle that I was in. We need to do stuff like that. We need to develop good habits. In the Christian life, we are called to be defensive and offensive. Our lives are developed good habits, and what is involved in that? When we talk about cultivating, when we talk about development, we're involved in fleeing, putting off, avoiding, pursuing, putting on, and clinging to. Those are the type of things that the scriptures refer to. And since we already memorized part of Psalm 1, take a look there. Let's go to Psalm 1. I chose that verse because we all have it. And we had to memorize it this year, the beginning of it. What do we got in Psalm 1? Very practical advice. Here it is. The blessed man doesn't do three things. My fingers aren't working. Page doesn't want to open up. I'm being attacked. That was a joke. All right. The blessed man does what? Number one, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. My walk is I will not listen to the counsel of the wicked. Two, he doesn't stand where? In the path of sinners. These are habits. I won't walk with the counseling of the wicked. I won't stand in the path of sinners, nor will I sit. So he doesn't walk, he doesn't stand, he doesn't sit. Where doesn't he sit? In the seat of the scoffers or in the path of sinners? I'm sorry, yeah, with the seat of the scoffers. He doesn't do that. That's what the man of God doesn't do that. He develops a habit in his walk, in his stand, where he goes. But what does he delight in? He delights in what? The law. God's law, he meditates day and night. That's a habit. He meditates all the time. He delights in it, in verse 2. He delights in the law of the Lord. And so we memorize these verses, and there's a pattern there. So this will result in what? Wise decisions. If I don't listen to the counsel, I'll hear it, but I'm not going to walk that way. I'm not going to spend my time with the people if that's what they want to do. Many of you know I officiate. My wife knows that this is true because I keep everything open with my wife. But I've been in situations where after a game we'd ref, and I was invited with, let's all go back to the bar and have, sorry. Had a great time with you guys. You did a great job. The game went well. I appreciate you guys. And that's what I'd say. I appreciate it, but I'm going home. I want to be with my wife and my children. Have a good time if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to the bar. And so forth. Those are decisions. It's habits that you're involved in developing. That's what we mean by standing or sitting with them. Okay, some other passages I just gave you quickly. Here I need help, but we're not going to get through the verses. Psalm 34, 14. I need a volunteer. Who's going to read that one? All right, Alan, you got that one. All right, Proverbs 4, 15. Who's got the next one? Kevin. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Who's going to get that one for me? Aaron. Scott, would you take, I thought I saw your hand, Scott, did I? Would you take the next one, 10, 14? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. Gary. 1 Timothy 1, 5 and 6. You got it. 1 Timothy 6, 11. Who we got there? You got it. 2 Timothy 2, 2. Dan. And John 8, 12. Okay, this will just give you some idea. These are a bunch of verses. Listen carefully to some of the things that we highlighted about fleeing, putting off, avoiding, whatever. Psalm 34, 14. Go ahead. Loud.
Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue.
That's simple. Depart from it. Seek. Pursue. Right? So I have to take the responsibility of developing a habit of departing from evil. Not running on the fence and seeing how close I can get before falling off the cliff. And I need to seek. I need to pursue. Think about that. Let's be practical with this class right now. Think about that in your own life without raising your hand, without anything. How many godly things are you pursuing on a regular basis? Whether that be serving, whether that be fellowship, whether that be attending the local church. What is your life occupied with pursuing? Is it just personal interests that fall away? Nothing wrong with personal interests. Nothing wrong with hobbies. Nothing wrong with any of that. But how much time is spent in those areas as opposed to pursuing the things of God? Next one. Okay. Proverbs 4:15. Who had it? Go.
Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on.
Right? Remember we said God wants to work, but we have responsibilities? Avoid it. And you look at the context. We're avoiding evil. Pass on. Don't go there. That's hard because our flesh wants to go there. Pass on. We need to take the action. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Thank you. Now, that's very practical to life. Flee sexual sin. It's interesting, and I could be wrong, but as far as I know, that's the only place in Scripture where it says that this particular sin has double the effect. Double the effect. That if you pursue sexual immorality, It not only hurts you, but it'll hurt you physically, and it'll affect the body. Flee it. How about Joseph, right? I don't care if my garment gets kept by her and ripped. I don't care if I just paid $300 for it. I'm exaggerating. Pay $300 and she rips the garment. I am fleeing from her presence. I don't want that possibility happening. That takes action. We had to do that, develop these habits. 1 Corinthians 10:14.
Free from idolatry.
And we say, great, Pastor Dan, that one I've got. I never bow down to statues or things and so forth. I think Ephesians says that something is idolatry. Anybody remember what it says? Covetousness. Covetousness is idolatry. Do we covet after other things? Or are we pursuing, again, the things of God? 1 Thessalonians 1:9. I think this is a good practical one. Go ahead. Who had it? Somebody had. No? I'll do it. Did I say 5:9? All right, whoever had 5:9, go to 1:9. Who had it? Oh, Gary. Thank you, Gary. Go.
But they themselves report about us that what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God.
That's pretty practical, right? Turn to God from idols. Serve the living God. It's pursuing and it's fleeing to God from idols. And it takes work, but it develops habits. I want to pursue going toward God. All right, 1 Timothy 1, 5 and 6.
Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some habits were have turned aside from a vain shame.
Okay, isn't that pretty practical? The conscience, pure conscience. Okay, people, some have turned aside, he says, Paul says, some have turned aside from the very practical things of keeping a clear conscience and in dealing with things the right way. Okay, look at the next one. Again, we get another flea. 1 Timothy, a lot of fleas today. 1 Timothy 6:11. That's right. Well, I think that's practical. And by the way, nothing wrong with money. Don't misunderstand. Many of the godly people in the scriptures, if you look, were very wealthy people. They were. Abraham's an example, but I mean, there's many. That's okay. But if it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. That's what I love. It's what I live for, is that. And he says, flee from that, and then gives a very practical list of things that the man of God should be looking for. And that's an ongoing daily pursuit that we should have. All right, next one.
The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Okay, that's pretty practical, teaching others. Last one, John 8. Who had that? All right, somebody get that one. John 8, 22. Who's going to get it from you? 12. Very practical. He's the light of the world. Follow him. Follow the light. Follow the light. All right, so as we move to the last page for today, what you've got, again, these texts should be reviewed regularly by believers, those three there. They're very practical. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at that one. In chapter 4, verses 17 to 32, and I won't read it all. In verse 17, it says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. We just saw that. And as you go through the rest of the passage, we looked at some of it earlier, it says, verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with its lusts. And you should be renewed in the spirit of your mind, our thinking. Remember that? Put on the new self, likeness of God created. And then he goes on very practical about laying aside the things to lay aside as you get into 25 and you go down. I mean, it's very practical when you get down to let no unwholesome words in verse 29. How about this one, verse 28? The one who stole, don't steal any longer. He doesn't stop there. But labor, performing that with your own hands, what's good, so that you'll have something to share. Rather than stealing from others, work hard and give what you have to others. It's practical. It's an ongoing process. Meeting the needs of others. There's an example of what I want to get into your mind. That's a good habit to develop. How can I meet the needs of other people? How about starting with your own family, your spouse, your children? How can I meet the needs of others who I hear about, and rather than just saying, as the scriptures say, I'll pray for you, and you go your way, and you have nothing to do, and you don't even pray for them. When you have in your ability, at the moment, the time and the ability to meet that need. Meet it. Develop the habit of meeting the need. In Ephesians chapter 6, well, I won't turn there. We're running out of time. It's basically put on the whole armor of God. You want to win the battles daily. And again, as Fred pointed out earlier, we're going to fail. But you got to put the armor on. You don't go into a battle every day and don't take your weapons. Our one weapon is what? Everybody knows. It's the Word of God. That's my sword. Bring your sword with you every day so that you can turn to it. Colossians says the same thing. Those three passages should be done on a regular basis. And what it is, it's dealing with putting on and putting off. It's dealing with what the heading is today. Developing good habits, right? Cultivating that in my life, just like brushing my teeth. I brush my teeth because I want to, and I get in the habit of doing it, so it becomes automatic. Even when you look in the mirror and you're going, oh, you're still brushing your teeth, right? Why? You get in the habit of doing that, whether it's exercising. You know, when I used to get up real early in the morning and go jogging, as many people know, and there'd be some morning, say, ah. But then after I get up and I started jogging, oh, man, this feels good. This is good. Gave me time alone with the Lord and everything else. But it's a habit that you want to keep developing and putting away those other bad habits. Because if you do it on a regular basis where you develop and cultivate a nature of spiritual things, you will see your life changing and you will finish your race strong. But if you just go bumping along thing to thing and you're pursuing and cultivating bad habits, you will get bad results. And you won't have anybody to blame but yourself. It's almost like today, I think one of the things that's really missing, remember I went back in the Old Testament about the ones that could shoot with their right hand, they could shoot with their left hand, they could take a sling in both hands. Those people were well-trained, well-developed, and they produced quality. That is lacking today. Craftsmanship has gone out the window in almost every area of life. Don't let that be true with you. If you're cutting a lawn, don't just do it to get it over with and leave those areas that nobody's going to notice that. Do it right. Develop the habit of being quality in your life. If you're responsible for making your bed and cleaning your room clean under the bed, don't pile the shoes and socks there. Whatever you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. Develop. If you develop slothful habits and you develop a nonchalant attitude, that will affect you in your spiritual life and it will show. And the one that really develops the craftsmanship, using that word craftsmanship, In the Old Testament, he says, you'll stand before kings. You'll stand before kings. They will notice. A couple of things I search for, even in my own life, just to, again, try to make it practical, in refereeing, is number one, I represent the Lord in everything I do, but also that I pay attention to details so that I, number one, know the rules well, number two, apply them in a fair basis, and when I come away from the game, no matter what happened, and I think I can say fairly and honestly because of people that have spoken to me and the level of the games that I do, that that's what they've noticed. That he knows the mechanics. He knows the judgment. And I'm saying that because that takes a lot of work and development, especially when you got fans yelling at you, and you got parents yelling at you, and you got players yelling at you, and coaches yelling at you. My wife witnessed that a week ago where a coach got right in my face and was screaming at me. But the way the situation was handled had a testimony before the Lord. It was the right way to handle it. See? I'm trying to be practical. Develop good habits every day. You'll finish the race strong. You'll finish the race strong. So how does it go? This is the end of it. In every area of your life, we are developed, be developing and cultivating. Developing and cultivating. Okay? Cultivating a good, and how, where? In the areas of reading, in your areas of music, in your areas of prayer, in your areas of your social life, in your areas of companionships, in your area of entertainment, in your area of exercise, whatever area you want to get into in life, develop good habits. Cultivate good habits. Be fleeing bad things, be pursuing good things. And the more and more you do that, it will become automatic, as we saw at the beginning of the lesson. It'll become automatic in your life. You'll do just what Daniel did. Something comes up difficult, you pray just like you always have. Your children are going astray, you'll be like Job. You'll be on your knees like you've been doing all the time, praying for your children. Whatever it is. When you're at work, you'll be doing your work as unto the Lord and not as unto men because I've developed good habits and good quality of the work I produce. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. And that will develop. And so I close with, to finish the race strong, you must cultivate good habits. Let it start today, that you develop good habits in your life. It's a practical thing, but it will help you to finish your race strong. Any comments? Any questions? All right, next week we will pick up, we gotta know our enemies. And we'll pick that up next week. We have 2 weeks left as a reminder. Now there's 3 weeks of notes. We will cover them. Next week we'll be here, Lord willing. And then the last two sessions will be Saturday and Sunday of the following week. Somewhere out there, there should be the attendance sheet. Make sure you found it. There are copies. I know people came in late. John has copies of today's notes. If you missed 7 or 8, we have those as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you for your strength, for your guidance, and we thank you, Lord, that when we do fall, you pick us up and we're to pick ourselves up. Help us not to grow weary in well-doing. Help us not to quit. Help us on a daily basis, starting today, to develop good habits, to cultivate a spiritual walk, and to flee things that would hinder our walk and cause us to sin against you. Bless the refreshments you provided. We pray that you'd prepare our hearts for the morning service. We thank you for your goodness in allowing us to be here, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.